So before I get started into the message, I just want to share just sort of a, I love social media, you know, I pretty much post, I don't read everybody's stuff anymore, because my emotions just can't handle that, you know, so, but I saw this inspirational story, and I'm like, I just got to share this. This just, like, it touched my heart, and I know it kind of brought a tear to Becky's eye. So this husband and wife, they were out shopping just before Christmas, and you know how busy that is, you know, and we did some late shopping ourselves. And the wife suddenly noticed that her husband wasn't by her side anymore, that he had slipped away. And she went on, continued shopping, but they had a whole lot to do. And so she started to get nervous, you know, wanting to know where he was at. So finally she grabbed her cell phone, she calls him, she's like, you know, hey, where are you? And the husband said, well, do you remember that jeweler's that we went to about 10 years ago? And do you remember that diamond necklace that you just fell in love with, but I just couldn't afford it at the time? And you remember how I promised you that one day I would buy that for you? Tears started to flow down her cheek. She got all choked up and she said, yeah, I remember that shop. He said, well, I'm at the gun shop next door. So there's your Christmas inspiration right there. Learn from other people's mistakes, okay? That's the wisdom to take away. Oh my. But here we are just a few days before Christmas, and it's just an awesome time to come together, to celebrate, to remember the birth of Christ, the greatest gift ever given, right? And so we're going to kind of read from, of course, Luke chapter 2, traditionally speaking. I'm going to share a little bit about it. We're going to dive right into the kids. So if you want to join with me, Luke chapter 2, if you have watched Peanuts Christmas enough times, you could probably quote this from heart, right? Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that had taken place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to their hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and to the lineage of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to, and who was also expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds also at that time living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. So she had a night birth. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Of all the people on the face of the earth, they appeared to these shepherds out in the middle of the field, just doing their job. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Who's hungry for some of the glory of the Lord, right? Yeah. And it says, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Right? We got some good news that we've received and that we have to share. Good news about his salvation. She said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, and they all began praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord just told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning about what had been told to them about the child. And everyone who heard this news were amazed at what the shepherds shared. But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were exactly as they had been told. Right? And isn't that like the word of God? Always fulfilled, always comes to pass exactly as it says that it will. The birth of Christ was no different, exactly as it had been foretold, exactly as it had been prophesied, but far from how we would expect it to happen. Far from that. God moves in the most unlikely ways at the most unexpected times, but it's always good when he fulfills his word. And so, like Mary, I pray that during this Christmas season, that we truly take time to stop and to ponder and to treasure up in our hearts the birth of Christ and what that really, truly signifies. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about his life and his death and his resurrection, but his birth was so significant, so miraculous, and just so like God. The birth of Jesus wasn't exactly brought about in the best of circumstances, nor how we would expect. Joseph and Mary, they were very young. Historians believe that they were teenagers when they were engaged and when her birth took place. Joseph, of course, he knew that this baby was not his. He planned on just divorcing her quietly and just putting her away so that he wouldn't cause her shame because he did love her. Of course, an angel intervened and convinced him that what she said is true, that this baby is born of the Holy Spirit alone. They were forced by the government to travel at the very end of her pregnancy quite some distance just to register for the census at Joseph's hometown. It kills us to think about, but in that busy time when everybody's gathering, you have Mary coming late in her pregnancy and nobody cared to open up their home or to share their space with her. They found no room at all. They ended up in a manger, in an animal's feeding trough to give birth. Not exactly the most sanitary or ideal circumstances. As far as we know, there wasn't even a midwife or anything. They were alone. Mary and Joseph were dirt poor. We find that out because they sacrificed a pair of pigeons or doves when they consecrated the birth of Jesus, their firstborn son at the temple. They gave the lowest offering that anyone could possibly give to the Lord for that event. As far as the Bible indicates and that we know, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who also had a miraculous birth, seemed to be the only family member that supported them and really believed that this was really a birth of the Holy Spirit, a truly virgin birth. King Herod, you want to talk about opposition during that time. He commanded and he decreed that all boys 2 years old and younger in the vicinity of Bethlehem were murdered. A mass murder took place trying to stop the destiny of Jesus from being the King of the Jews. The Christmas story where the birth of Jesus takes place, in reality, and I could go on and on, it was a dark time. It was difficult circumstances. It was far from ideal. I know we love to watch the cartoons that paint this pretty picture of Jesus, and we think, oh, baby Jesus in a manger. Well, if you were there, it was not such a sweet thing. It was heartbreaking. They had to be alone and confused, and that's Mary's just kind of trying to take all this stuff in as everything's happening, I'm sure, so quickly. Yet in the midst of this dark and gloomy circumstances, in the midst of such opposition to Christ, there was this inexpressible joy that was experienced. The light of Christ shone that much brighter in the midst of that dark backdrop of the circumstances of his birth. That's what caused his birth to shine so bright and to be so, so exciting for them. I mean, can you imagine giving birth to your child and these random shepherds come in and they share what the angel had shared with Mary, that this is the Savior, the Messiah, that he's going to bring salvation to the entire world, that he's going to cause great joy for all the people, this little baby. So even when they felt forgotten and abandoned and alone, God sent someone to encourage them and to remind them of what God had told them, that his word is going to come to pass, that this is going to be the greatest child in all of mankind's history, because I'm sure she wasn't feeling that way in the moment. We who gladly receive this good news about Jesus, we are filled with hope. No matter our circumstances, the birth of Jesus was like a physical manifestation of what it means to have hope despite some pretty difficult challenges in life. We're reminded of 1 Thessalonians 4 that we are ones who may mourn, who may suffer, just like the rest of the world. But unlike the rest of the world, Our mourning is coupled with hope. We have hope. And that changes everything. That changed everything about the circumstances that Jesus is born in, and it changes everything for us today. Sure, we mourn and we suffer, and we go through the same life challenges that everyone else does, but we have hope. Hope is what the birth of Jesus grants us, and his life, and his death, and his resurrection. Hope is a coupler between our current circumstances and what God has promised. God's promises, they're like the engine of the train. So think about this if you have a train at home during the Christmas season, you know. God's promises are like that engine. And unless you're coupled to that engine, you're going nowhere, and it is hopeless. But when you couple yourself to the promises of God, when you couple yourself to who Christ is, by receiving his salvation, you're going places. It's going to be good. You're going to go through dark valley seasons, but you're not hanging out there. You're going to go through life challenges and difficulties, but there is a mountaintop victory waiting for you on the other side. As long as you stay coupled to Christ, you're going to good places. He's going to work these things together for good. He's going to work them together for his glory, even as he did his birth. Hope is what enables us to maintain joy no matter our circumstances. We don't have happiness that's based on our circumstances. We have a joy, a fruit of the Spirit that can be manifest no matter our circumstances. Hope is what carries us through those valleys to the mountaintop victories. Hope is what enables us to fall flat on our faces in failure. And yet we can stand back up, brush ourselves off, and keep going. Hope is what makes all this possible. Hope changes everything for us. Hope is in the person of Jesus. You see, we don't have just hope. Like, we don't have hope that, you know, we're going to win the lottery. We don't just have hope that someone's going to bail us out of this. We don't just have hope that things are going to change. We have a living hope in Jesus. There is a person who loves you and cares about you, who gave his everything for you. You have a person who is the embodiment of hope, who lived through what you're going through now, and yet he's on the other side of it. And that's where he's calling you from. He is calling you not to a victory, but from a victory. He's beckoning you into your victory, into your destiny, into your future. He's calling you through hope. Though nothing changes, everything changes. Hope through the person of Jesus, a living hope. God wrapped in the flesh, Emmanuel, we have a living hope. So despite the harsh circumstances of his birth, despite the reality of Jesus' coming in the flesh, he was born just as God had promised. No word from God will ever fail, ever. That's what the angel declared, and it is still true today. He continued on in his life to fulfill thousands of prophecies in his lifetime. I mean, just exponential, the probability of him fulfilling these prophecies, yet he did it. He fulfilled them all. He was put to death on the cross, willingly taking on the punishment that you and I deserved. He was placed in a borrowed tomb, probably the darkest, most final, and most hopeless of any circumstances. I mean, it doesn't get any more final than death. And it doesn't get any more horrific than the death that he experienced that we deserve. Yet that wasn't his end. He rose again. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He has the victory. All because on that day, a few thousand years ago, that historical event took place. Christ has come. The Lord is born. God, in all of his fullness and glory and splendor, wrapped in helpless flesh like you and I, in weakness, tempted and tried, yet he has the victory, and he's freely given it to you. So we have hope. No matter our life circumstances, there is hope, and don't let go of it. That hope couples you to where Jesus is taking you. Don't ever let go of it. This Christmas season, I encourage you to ponder these things in your heart. Ponder what God's up to with joy and with eager expectation that good things are coming. Even though your heart may be broken and you may be going through pain and agony, remember Christ, who also suffered, but also remember how it ended for him. That's your destiny as well. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna cause great joy for all the people. Even like the shepherds, we get to share what God is doing in our lives with other people, and it will cause them joy. Jesus is, of course, the reason for the season, that cliche that we use. But Jesus will prove himself to be good, to be faithful, and to be true. They're synonymous with his names. He is faithful and true. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the perfecter and the finisher. So just keep yourself coupled to him in hope. It's going to end well. It's going to be a blessing. You're going to look back and be in awe of the goodness of God and how great his love is for you personally, that he would carry you through those things into the pastures overflowing with blessing. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. May the hope of Christ be yours this Christmas season and all the days of your life as we continue on.